Now, through the question of this particular verse and its context, we might conclude that the Holy Spirit-inspired author of Psalm 119 is actually a young adult man. He asks the question in a general sense. He doesn't ask specifically concerning himself. At least he doesn't put it in those terms. He doesn't say, "How shall I cleanse my way?" But he asks it more generally, "How shall a young man cleanse his way?" Now, it is possible when he asked the question, he was asking, "How can my son cleanse his way?" Or, "How can some young man that I know cleanse his way?" Except, when you continue reading through the remainder of this portion of 8 verses, he immediately shifts to a very personal application. He says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way?" The answer, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Then immediately in response to that answer, the psalmist says in verse number 10, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." For the remainder of the 8 verses, who is he talking about? Himself in his relationship with God and God's word. So when he opens these 8 verses with the question, "How shall a young man cleanse his way?" most likely in context, he's thinking of himself. And he's viewing himself as a young man yet in this life. Very, very likely the author, the Holy Spirit-inspired author of Psalm 119 was a young adult man. Was it David? I do not know. The particular psalm does not give a name. It could have been David. It could have been Asaph. It could have been someone that we do not know by name, but the Holy Spirit of God inspired him. And clearly he had a great burden in his heart. The great burden of this young man's heart was to cleanse and make pure his way and to pursue a clean and purified pathway throughout his life. Now, brethren, I say to you, whatever stage of life you're in, don't just read this and say, "Well, I'm not a young man anymore. I'm an old man. I'm gray-headed. I'm way beyond the years of youth. This doesn't apply to me." Listen to me very carefully. Whatever your age in life is now, this applies to you. You may say, "Well, I don't know about my past. I don't know what can be done about it." Well, the only thing that can be done about it is to cleanse what's already been sin and move forward in a cleansed way. You can't go back and redo it, but you can move forward in a cleansed way. Amen? How many of us have been brought back from a place of backsliding in our life? And the Lord has cleansed our way, amen? And now we can move forward in the cleansed way. Well, praise the Lord. I say to you, wherever you are, if you're not right with God now, then pay attention to the truth of the Word of God that you can find how to cleanse your way and how you can continue in the cleansed way thereafter. Those of you who have already gotten right with God and you're moving forward in the cleansed way, let me show you from the Word of God how to stay, how to continue in that cleansed way through the remainder of your life. Amen? It doesn't matter your age. You say, "Well, this is for the young man. What about the ladies?" The principle of the Word of God is true for them as well. If the Holy Spirit-inspired author had been a young lady, she could have said, "How shall a young lady cleanse her way?" And the truth would have been the same. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. Amen? But I would especially challenge the young people here today. Let me not just say it's for all, and it is. Whatever stage in life you are, whether you're in your 20s, whether you're in your teens, whether you're in your elementary school years, or whether you're up to the 30s and you're starting to hit the top of the hill at 40, I'm going to be there in just a few months. Family's already making fun of me. You're going to be going downhill. My wife said, "Once you start downhill," just the other day she said, "I'm going to push you fast because it's going to be easy once you're going down." Amen. She's looking for retirement money, I think. And she figures if she can get me pushed off the edge right quick, she'll have some. Ah, I think maybe I should cancel my life insurance. Maybe I should slow it down then. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, you're coming into your 40s, or you've moved to the 50s, or the 60s, or the 70s, whatever it is, the principle of this verse should be applied in your life. But let me especially say to the young people here today, those who are teenagers, those in the elementary school, maybe those in the young adult life, like this young man probably was in his early, maybe even later 20s. Oh, it's so important for you to be interested in the truth of this verse. It's so important because it's best for you to start right and stay right. Amen? Don't wait until you're 40 to get right with God. Don't wait until you're 50 to get right with God. Don't say, well, I'm going to live for self now, and then one day in the future, when I've lived my early years, my prime for me, I'll give the rest to God. I just completed in my personal Bible study time the book of Ecclesiastes. What an interesting book. But you know, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, we commonly think of the last two verses. The last two verses say, this is the conclusion of the whole matter, that a man should fear God and keep His commandments. And the reason, because God is going to judge every work of our life. But you know, interestingly enough, I believe the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon in his later years, was written to young people. And I believe that because when he comes to the conclusion of the whole matter, his last chapter, you know how he opens the very last chapter? He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I believe Solomon's looking back and saying, oh, I wish I'd not waited this long. You know, he started out right, but he didn't stay right. And he's looking to the youth and he's saying, start out right and stay right, amen? Don't wait until you're older to serve God. Start now to learn how to cleanse your way and how to walk the cleansed way in your life. Amen? I challenge every parent in the room, teach your children the principles of this verse. Don't just tell them. Teach them. Train them up in it so that they learn the cleansed way now. And they stay in the cleansed way as they move forward in life. Amen? Some in the room would say, sad to say, I wasn't raised in a home that taught me how to have my way cleansed. I had to learn later in life. And I lost and I wasted so many years that could have been served for God. Amen? Don't do that. Young people, don't do that. Parents, don't let your children go on not knowing the principles of this verse, not being trained up in the principles of this verse. Teach them, train them in the principles of this verse, how to have a cleansed way. Amen? The expression of this young man's burden was delivered by the question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Basically, he was asking how he himself, as a young man, might cleanse his own way for life. And even so, I present to you the closing portion of the verse gives the biblical answer by taking heed thereto, according to thy, that is God's, word. So then, through the question of this verse and the answer that is delivered in this verse, I would like us to consider the four steps whereby we all might learn to cleanse our way. There are indeed four steps revealed in this verse. First of all, I present to you the very first step is the recognition of our need for a cleansed way. The first step for us to cleanse our way is that we must recognize our need for the cleansed way. You know, no one ever proceeds in a particular direction if they don't believe they need to. Amen? Just this morning, I had to ask Mr. Roger Craig some questions about a vehicle that was starting to act up on me yesterday, and that is not a pleasant thing. I asked him some questions. He said, I believe it may be this. But let me tell you, Mr. Roger Craig, do I come to you every Sunday morning and ask you questions about the mechanics of my vehicle? No. You know why? I don't do it every Sunday morning, but I did do it this Sunday morning. Well, most Sunday mornings, I don't think I have a need. But this Sunday morning, I knew I had a need. Every time I push the brakes, the front end shakes so much that I think it's about ready to spin in a circle. Something's not right. And something not right with your brakes can be life-threatening. So I told my wife, from now on, if we need to go anywhere, she's driving, I'm staying home. Now, the reason I asked the question is because I believed I had a need. Amen? You know, if I don't think I have a need, some people have needs, but they never seek for any answers to those needs because they don't believe they have a need. Have you ever looked at an individual's life and said, oh, there's some things in their life spiritually that need to be fixed, but they are continuing to live as if there's nothing wrong? Have you ever been there in your own life? Living as if there's nothing wrong when in fact, clearly now you can look back and say, Mar, my life was a spiritual mess, but I didn't see it. You know, as long as you didn't see it, you never sought for an answer because you had no recognition that there was any problem to be fixed. The very first step here is a recognition of our need for a cleansed way. Specifically, through his opening question, the psalmist revealed this recognition of his own need, saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He knew he had a need, and the need was to cleanse his way. As a young man, the psalmist did not simply ask here how he might have his way directed in righteousness. Rather, he asked how he might first have his way cleansed from unrighteousness, and that's a powerful question. He didn't say, how shall a young man have his way directed? Direct his way. He said, how shall a young man cleanse his way? He recognized there was already a problem. Not just a need for wisdom, but a need for cleansing, brethren. He recognized that he was prone to wander away from the Lord and to walk in unrighteousness. Do you recognize the same? He recognized that his own way, although it might seem right at the first, was actually the way of corruption and destruction. There is indeed a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Do we see that? How many times have we chosen our way instead of God's way? In fact, how many times have we chosen our way and never even considered what God's way might be? How many times in choosing our own way did we find that the ends thereof were a big mess? See, that's not what the verse says. It says the ends thereof are the ways of death. Yeah, I know. But in farmer language, that means a big mess. Amen? Corruption and destruction, that's what he's talking about. You made a big mess because you chose your way instead of God's way. And how prone are we to just choose our way? Aren't we? Not even think about what God's way is. That's why we're commanded in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 6, to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Because we have the tendency to just go our ways without ever thinking about Him at all. This young man knew he'd already been away from the Lord going his own way. He knew that choosing his own way had already put him on the wrong path. He knew that if he continued to go his own way and not go God's way, not get his way cleansed and get back on the path where God could lead and he would follow, he would just end up in the path of corruption and destruction and death. He knew he needed his way cleansed. He recognized that he lacked the wisdom to choose the way of righteousness on his own. He recognized that the thoughts, desires, and ways of sin had already taken root within his heart and life. Therefore, this young man of God recognized his need first to cleanse his way from unrighteousness and then to continue in the way of righteousness. He recognized his need first to make his way pure, and then to maintain his way in purity. In like manner, brethren, I present to you, we also must recognize our own need for a cleansed way. That's the first step. Amen? We need to recognize our own need for a cleansed way. Is there anything in your life, any sin committed in your life this past week, not clean? You need to be cleansed in your way. Maybe sinful attitude. Raging up this week, sinful attitude. My sons and I, we decided at the beginning of this week to learn a new game. I purchased a new board game, and they often say it's good when the family gets together and plays board games. I'm not so sure it's good for my sons and I to play anything with each other. Now, this game can move fairly quickly, and within the first round, one of us had already clearly lost, and he had a bad attitude. So we decided to start the game over a second time, and we began to play the game, and the second time, the second individual, a different individual, was losing the game. I think that was me, the second round, and he had a bad attitude. And then the third time we decided to play the game, somebody else was going to lose the game, and he had a bad attitude. We need our way cleansed, amen? You say, well, just stop playing games then, amen, preacher? Don't ever play another game in your life. And you'll never have another bad attitude. Well, I doubt that one. I'll probably have a bad attitude about something else then. The fact is, we have sinful attitudes, do we not? We speak in sinful ways all too often. We have sinful thoughts and meditations. We have sinful doings and sinful behavior in our life. We need a cleansed way. We need to recognize that we need for our way to be cleansed. We must recognize that we ourselves also, just as this young man, this psalmist here, we also ourselves are naturally prone to follow our own way rather than follow our Lord's way. We must recognize that we ourselves also are naturally prone to go astray from our Lord's way in order to pursue our own carnal ways of selfish motivation, of sinful iniquity, and of stubborn rebellion. Well, maybe not the third one. I may be the only stubbornly rebellious individual in the room. Anyone else willing to admit that they can be stubbornly rebellious sometimes? Huh. Interesting. Well, somebody could say we just follow our leader. That may be so. But I dare say if you switch leaders, you'd probably still be stubbornly rebellious at times. Is it not our nature not only to go off into sin, to be selfishly motivated to do what I want? Because of that, to commit sinful iniquity against God. And then when He brings conviction and when He brings correction, for us to stubbornly rebel and say, I will not move and I will not be moved. By the way, you will move. You stand in stubborn rebellion, you will just keep moving further away from God. But you will move. And you will be moved because God will chasten you. He will move you. Even if He just moves you deeper into the pain of chastening because you refuse to repent. But you will be moved. Oh, brethren, we need to understand we have a need for a cleansed way. And we need to recognize that need. We must recognize, brethren, we must recognize our own personal need to cleanse away and cast aside the unrighteousness of our ways. And then we need to recognize our need, or then recognizing our need for a cleansed way, we may move to the second step of the matter. If we're willing to recognize our need for the cleansed way, then we can move to the second step. And what is that second step? Well, let's look again. Psalm 119, verse number 9. The second step of the matter is just this. The desire of our heart for a cleansed way. The second step for us to cleanse our way is that we must possess a heart desire for a cleansed way. The psalmist here expressed this desire by asking his question, wherewithal, how, where in the world do I find the ability? For I myself, as a young man, to cleanse my way. I see the need. I need my way cleansed. But now I ask with burden of heart, with desire of heart, how can I have my way cleansed? That's what he's asking, brethren. All right. So do we recognize the need to cleanse our way? Well, I pray we do. But now, having stepped through the first step, do we have a desire to cleanse our way? The rebellious heart does not want to be cleansed. The rebellious heart says, I will stay here in darkness. But brethren, the convicted heart says, Oh Lord, I need to know how to get out of the pit. Is that not what David did when he cried forth in Psalm 40? He said, I cried unto the Lord, and He heard my cry. I waited on the Lord, and I cried unto Him, and He heard my cry, and He delivered me out of the miry pit, out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock. David there was saying, I saw my need. I was in the horrible pit. I was sinking in the miry clay. It stank. It was dark. It was miserable, and I knew I needed out. And I cried unto God. That's the desire of his heart. Oh Lord, I need out. I need out of this mess that I've created for myself. I need out of the bondage of sin that I have formed around myself. The very chains of my own sin are holding me fast, and I need them broken. I need them shattered. And only God has the power to unbind them and shatter them and take them away. Oh Lord, I desire freedom from this wickedness of heart. That's our second step, brethren. There needs to be a desire of heart. In like manner, just as this young man was asking how he as a young man might cleanse his way and thereby expressing his heart desire to have his own way cleansed, in like manner, brethren, we also must possess a heart desire to have our own way cleansed. As with the man of God David in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, our heart's prayer must be, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. What is he saying? He's saying, Lord, if there's a wicked way in me, cleanse my way and lead me in the right way. Amen? Get me out of the sinful way. As with David in Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14, our heart's burden must be, Who can understand His errors? Cleanse Thou me from secret faults. There he's talking about the secret faults that were even secret to himself. You know, many times we live our lives with blinders on. The blinders that we have on are blinders to our own faults. How easy is it for you to find somebody else's fault? Well, you know, I'm going to bring Mr. Ed Woodruff up here for a moment, if he would come up. And I'm not really going to embarrass him. We're not really going to do this. But Mr. Ed Woodruff, you were sitting in the front. I'm sorry, you sit in the front. You get nailed for this stuff. You know, Mark has to walk all the way down here, so now he's going to sit in the back all the time. But backsliders sit in the back. Amen. Now, if I brought Mr. Ed Woodruff up here and I stood him right here in the middle and I said, Now here, brethren, what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand out a sheet of paper. Everybody have a pen or a pencil. And I want you to write down the 10 faults that you see, the 10 highest, greatest faults you see in Mr. Ed Woodruff's life. Do you think they can come up with some? Sure. Oh, I'm pretty sure they could. I'm pretty sure you already have them written down. Oh, amen. You need a pen? All right. Amen. Except for, do you have a pen? Oh, she already has one. I'd be sure to make sure his wife had a pen first, because by now she's already got 20 in her mind. Amen. I'm telling you, when we're looking at someone else's life, thank you, that's all I needed from you. I'm not really going to have them come up with faults for your life, because the Bible says that we should be dealing with our own faults first, doesn't it? See, here's a common thing. I've thought about this many times. You deal with a married couple, and they're saying, Oh, we're having such problems, and our marriage is coming crumbling down. And I say, Well, what do you think is the problem, Mr. So-and-so? And he says, Well, she, and 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 she. And I said, Okay, that's a nice list you have there. And then I ask her, I said, Now, Mrs. So-and-so, what do you think is the problem? And she says, And he, 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 and he. It's interesting how both of them have a list, but the list is always the other one's fault. I've often thought when you sit with them, I should start out with what they're already thinking. Would you please give me the top 5 things that you believe your partner, your spouse, is contributing to the breakup of the marriage? They write them down. I take them secretly away. I may even glance at them for a moment, put them in my drawer and hand them another sheet of paper and say, now, on the second list and the list we're going to deal with first, would you please put on this list the top five things you think you are contributing to the breakup of this marriage? Now, interestingly enough, they might sit there and say, I can't think of anything. But sadly, that's the very reason the marriage is breaking up. Because they're unwilling to deal with their own fault. We have a tendency to be very, very narrow-minded. And in our narrow-mindedness, we can point at everyone else, but we're never willing to look at our own fault. The faults we keep secret from ourselves. Did you know you can do that? Have you ever kept secret faults from other people? Secret sinful thoughts? I'm sure you have. But have you ever kept secret faults from yourself? I'm sure you have. It's called self-deception. And the Bible talks about it. Does it not? He says, cleanse thou me from the secret faults. Bring them. That's what he's saying over in the other psalm when he says, you search me because nothing is secret to God. You show me any wicked way, even the ones I'm keeping secret from me. Show them to me so they can be dealt with. Amen? He goes on in Psalm 19, verse 13, he says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That's rebellion. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, have my way cleansed, and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Yea, as with the psalmist in Psalm 119, this very psalm, verse 36 and 37, our heart's prayer must be, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, that is sinfulness and wickedness and worldliness, and quicken thou me in thy way. Yet again, as with the psalmist, in Psalm 19, verse 133, our heart's burden must be, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Not just recognize I need my way cleansed, but have a true heart desire to have my way cleansed. Then, brethren, I present to you recognizing our need for a cleansed way, step one. And possessing a heart desire for a cleansed way, step two. We may move to the third step of the matter. Now, I know sometimes when people walk steps, they skip them. How many of you go two steps at a time? I do. Actually, when we're going through like the hospital or something, my wife always goes right to the elevator. And I go right to the stairs. And I go up the stairs two at a time, and I get up there faster than she does in the elevator. Those elevators are slow. Now, I suppose if we were going up the hospital to floor 25, by floor 20, I might be slowing down a little bit and the elevator might be. Amen? But two floors? Come on, man. I could do that faster than that elevator. And I'm the kind of guy like wants to keep moving, man. I don't stand there in the elevator. No, it's not competition. It's just because I do it when I'm alone, too. I take the stairs. Elevator's too slow. I want to get going. I got things to do, people to see, places to go. Amen? Money to make. No, I didn't say that out loud. But the fact is, brethren, some of us try to skip stairs when we do that. I'm sure as I get older, I'm probably not going to skip stairs. I'm going to put two steps on each stair. But the fact is that in these steps, you can't skip. You take step one, you recognize you need. You take step two, you have a desire for change. But then you come to step three. And what is step three? Step three is the focus of our attention upon a cleansed way. Look, if you would, here, the third step for us to cleanse our way is that we must focus our attention upon walking the cleansed way. We must focus our attention upon our way that it will be in the cleansed way direction. He says there in Psalm 19 and in verse number 9, the question is given, wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Answer, biblical answer of God's Word, by taking heed thereto according to God's Word or Thy Word. Now I want you to notice one word in the answer right now. I'd like you to notice the word thereto. Now I understand the word thereto is italicized, but it is important for the grammar of this verse. The word thereto has been provided in this answer in order to point out to us that it's a reference to our way. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, you see, this answer is not worded by taking heed. How do I cleanse my way? By taking heed to God's Word. It's not what it's saying. It's not saying the way you cleanse your way is by obeying God's Word. Now, that's involved in this verse, but that's not how it's worded. By taking heed to obey God's Word. It's not what it's saying. It's actually saying by taking heed thereto in accord with God's Word. What's the thereto refer to? It refers to my way. What he's saying is, in order to have a cleansed way, I have to take heed to my way. I have to pay attention to the way I'm going. I can't just go with the flow. I can't just go with the flow of the world. I can't just go with the flow of my own heart. How many of you have gone with the flow of your own heart and found it was a righteous way? No, you have not. You have to take great care. You have to be sober. You have to be vigilant. You have to be alert. You have to be careful to go the right way. Amen? It will not just happen. You just get out in the world and you just go the way everybody's going. You're not careful to go the right way. You just go with everybody. Which way will you end up, Tim, if you go with the other guys on the job? If you go with the other guys on the job, Jason, if you go with the other guys on the job, if you go with the other guys on the job, which way will you end up? Will you end up with broken homes and broken marriages? You'll end up with cursing and bitterness. You'll end up with foul language. You'll end up with any number of things. That's what you'll end up with. That's what they're ending up with. You can't just go with the flow. What about the desires of your own heart? Well, hey, I did it because it felt right to me. So everything that feels right to us must be right. Is that true? Everything that feels right to you must be right because it felt right. Is that true? Come on. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You can't just go the way that seems right to you, that feels right to you, that you think is right. You've got to be very careful not to just go with the flow of your own heart or to go with the flow of the world around you. Because in both cases, you'll go astray. Isn't that true? Yeah, let's be honest with ourselves. This is step number 3. We have to take great care. We have to focus our attention on making sure that we are going to go step by step by step in the right way, in the cleansed way. Brethren, if we would cleanse our way and continue in that cleansed way, we must take heed to our way. In accord with God's Word. We must not just go with the flow. Each and every day throughout our daily walk, we must pay close attention to our way and must be on careful guard over our way. Turn with me, if you would. Keep some kind of marker in Psalm 119. We're coming back. But one book over, the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. By the way, we need to put a careful guard on our heart. Not just the way we walk, but the motivations of our heart that lead us to walk that way. That wasn't the verse primarily I wanted to show you, but in Proverbs 4, verse 23, he talks about putting a careful guard on our heart, saying, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." But now look down, if you would, to verse number 26 and 27. He says, "Ponder the path of thy feet." Look, by the way, that's the opposite of just going with the flow. Isn't it? He literally says, before you take a step, before you take any step, day by day, any step, ponder. Ponder the character of that step. Is it right or is it wrong? Ponder the consequence of that step. Where will it lead? Will it lead toward God or will it lead away from Him? Ponder the path. Yeah, walk circumspectly, the Word of God says, over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, where He says, be not fools, but be wise. Walk circumspectly and redeem the time. The word circumspectly means very carefully considering the way that you walk. Don't just go, but carefully consider, where am I going? How am I getting there? What am I doing with my life? Ponder the path of your feet and let all thy ways be established. Established in what? In righteousness. Take careful, careful heed to make sure that every step you take is established in righteousness. He says in the next verse, verse 27, turn not to the right hand or to the left. Take careful heed not to turn to right hand or the left from the way of righteousness. Remove thy foot from evil, from every unrighteous path. Brethren, that's what the Word of God teaches us. It teaches us that we need to take heed to ponder the path of our feet carefully and let all our ways be established in righteousness. It teaches us that we must take careful heed not to turn from the ways of righteousness either to the right or to the left, but to concentrate on removing our foot from the ways of unrighteousness. Be careful to step in righteousness and be established in those steps. Be careful to turn your foot away from any unrighteous step. Amen. Don't we want our children to do that? You send your children out of the house. You send them off with someone else. You send them out to play. You send them wherever you send them. Don't you want them to be careful to do right and careful to stay away from wrong? Well, God, our Heavenly Father, wants the same from His children. Those of you who send your children to school, I know some of them homeschool, we homeschool, but those who send them to school, don't you want your children to be very careful to do the right thing throughout the day and to stay away from the wrong thing and the wrong influences? Sure you do. God, our Heavenly Father, has us in the world and He says, I want the same from you. You just go with the flow of the world, you'll go wrong. If your children just go with the flow of the crowd, they'll probably go wrong, won't they? Most peer pressure is sinful. Oh, there's such a thing as righteous peer pressure. I'll grant that. But most of the peer pressure of the world is sinful, isn't it? We don't just want them going with that. We want them to carefully turn aside and do the right thing instead. Amen. God wants the same from us. We must ever think on our ways and take heed to turn our feet after our Lord's will. Daily we must focus our attention upon walking in the cleansed way. And then, having taken step one, recognizing our need for a cleansed way, having taken step two, possessing a heart desire for a cleansed way, having taken step three, focusing our attention upon a cleansed way, we're ready for step four, the last and final step, the standard of our lives for a cleansed way. Brethren, the fourth and final step for us to cleanse our way is that we must establish our standard for the cleansed way. And there's only one true standard for the cleansed way. It is the truth and teaching of God's Word. Psalm 19, verse 9, we turn back there. The question is asked, wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? The biblical answer is given by taking heed thereto, to his way, according to thy God's Word. If we would cleanse our way and continue in that cleansed way, the truth and teaching of God's Word must be the governing principle of every step that we take in our lives. I want you to think of this picture with me. Just as an individual might carefully trace a picture onto another piece of paper, if he wants the one picture to look just like the other, he puts a sheet of paper over it. I've done this sometimes. You want to have a light under it? I'll do it on the window. It's not easy because you're writing upright, but I've done it that way. And if you want it to look the same, you are very careful to make sure you follow the lines, don't you? Now, what's the standard of that picture that you're drawing? What's the picture behind it? You catching me? The picture behind it's the standard, and you're supposed to meet the standard. Get a picture that looks just like the standard. So you have to take heed. Be very careful to draw the line very carefully so to make sure the picture is the same. Well, that's what he's giving as a picture here. He's saying, I want you to pick the standard, God's Word. And then I want you to take your life, the blank life that you have, especially for the young man, and I want you to put it over the standard of God's Word, and every step you take, I want you to take heed, carefully tracing your life on the standard of God's Word. Now, I'll tell you this, if we would be very careful to trace our life on the standard of God's Word, step by step, you know what the picture will look like when we get to the end? It will look like the glorious beauty of Christ's righteousness. Because that really is the picture of God's Word behind it. Beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord. Beholding in the Word of God the glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same image, the image, the glorious image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory, step by step, line by line. The glory of His image comes forth. And it's done by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what He's telling us to do here. Oh, brethren, the precepts and principles, statutes and standards, commands and counsels, truth and teaching of God's Word must govern both our heart and our hand. God's Word must be the governing principle of what we think, what we feel, what we choose, what we say, what we do, and what we pursue. Then we shall find our way cleansed. Then we shall cleanse our way and shall continue in the cleansed way. We will be made clean through the Word which our Lord has spoken unto us. The perfect, faithful, righteous, pure, clean, true, and holy Word of God will convert our soul from unrighteousness and make us wise unto righteousness. God's Word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word will give us understanding so that we hate every false way. If we hide God's Word in our hearts as the governing principle of our hearts and lives, we shall not walk in the way of sin against the Lord our God. By God's Word we're taught, reproved, corrected, and instructed so that our way may be clean unto spiritual maturity in every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, young man or old, lady or man, may be perfect, spiritually mature, throughly furnished unto every good work. How then shall we cleanse our way? By taking heed to our way according to the truth and teaching of God's Word. Amen. Here's the standard God gave us, and it's a perfect standard. You trace your life on this standard. You carefully trace each and every line of your life on this standard of God's Word, your life will end in the beauty of righteousness. That's the picture that will be drawn. But if you continue to go your own way and do your own thing and go with the flow of your own heart, the end of your life will not be beautiful. The end of your life will be a mess. Have you ever seen a 2-year-old try to trace a picture? Now, we may praise them for trying because they're only 2. But if we live our whole life like that, and that's the picture of a life when it's over, we will not be praised for it. Because God gave us through His Holy Spirit all the ability to live the righteous life. The ability through the Spirit of God, the standard through the Word of God. Let's live it. Amen? However young you are, start now. However old you are, start now. If you've already started, stay the path. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God this morning. I pray now, Lord, that You would use it in our hearts in a mighty way. As I prayed at the beginning, so I pray now. Help it to do its work. Wherever we may be away from You, help us to have a burden for the cleansed way. Help us to recognize our need, be burdened in heart, Be prepared to take heed, to go right now in the right way, and make the standard your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.